Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we were. I personally was very concerned about this a little bit earlier today, but now I'm feeling better. The DEA is in the building, right. And they're here to talk to us about things, actually, as
right.
It works out.
It's all Although, official business.
This may just be a distraction to keep me out of the office. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Corey Risman is Supervisory Division Investigator and Public Information Officer for the DEA Chicago Field Office here, which is very, you know, it's amazing. I've gotten to spend some time. I've had the pleasure of spending some time with some of your folks over the last number of years. It's a very, very, very busy field office. There's a lot going on here.
Yes.
And it has been instrumental in dismantling one of the largest drug cartels in the world. And when you stop and you think about Chicago's place in the world, there are things, some of it has been very public, some of it not, but the interdiction into the Mexican drug lords through here has been a big, big thing. So congratulations to DEA and specifically the Chicago Field Office for all their hard work.
Thank you.
Getting that done. That is really true. All right. So this, you know, we when we think about the DEA, we do think about that. We think about, you know, guys in private jets and helicopters and all kinds of things and, you know, external kinds of problems. But there are internal problems here, too, right, with the opioid crisis. And there's going to be an opioid take-back day, essentially, is what it's going to be. Can you explain that to me?
Sure, absolutely. First off, thank you for having me. Happy to be here. And I'm happy to talk about this really important initiative. So what this is, we're here to announce our 18th National Drug Take Back Day. It's going to be this Saturday, October 26th from 10 to 2. And it's not just here in Chicago or in Illinois, but this is a nationwide event. And really what we're trying to do is get the public to use the Take Back Day almost like second nature, like when they get in a vehicle and they put on their seatbelt. You know, we want people to be so comfortable with their prescriptions where they know, okay, I'm taking it as directed, I'm done with it, I no longer need it, I don't want to leave it around in my home.
Because that's what's happening, essentially, Corey. People just sort of leave their outdated medicines in the medicine cabinets or lying around, I don't know, cars or something, and they're getting in the wrong hands. Is that what we're most concerned about here?
That's correct. I mean, basically, most people who suffer from prescription opioid abuse say that it started from a friend or family that they took from their home medicine cabinet. So if we eliminate the source and the temptation, not only are we protecting the public health and safety and our family and friends from the susceptibility or that temptation to maybe take one if they have a headache or something, but it's also not getting thrown away into the garbages, which can be taken and diverted, and it's also not getting flushed into the water system.
And
which,
can I just talk about that? Because
yeah,
that's something
that, heard, yeah.
that you know, you hear things about this all the time about
in the water
know,
system.
Yeah, the percentage of these kinds of drugs that end up, whether it's that or any other kind of prescription.
You hear
drugs,
the fish right? growing both male and female body parts all the time, and then having sex and babies with themselves. This actually happens. I mean, it's just like from the estrogen, isn't it, in the water?
Many people have asked me to do that to myself, too, but that's not... Yes, I understand that's what you're saying, but Corey, that's a big issue, right? I mean, the flushing of them down the toilet.
Well,
it's probably not the best thing.
It's getting in the water supplies, ultimately.
It definitely is not suggested by EPA as far as right. considered a safe
so,
way.
So people should think about that. Maybe immediately, the first thing you think about is that. And then, obviously, if you've got kids or other family members that you might be worried about in the house. But even if you're just thinking about getting rid of them. And plus, if your house gets broken into, people go through immediately. They go through the medicine cabinets, right?
Well, right. Even if you're trying to sell your home, or you have somebody come clean your house, or a handyman, or something, somebody gets in your home and they get through your stuff. I mean, a lot of people literally just track houses that are for sale that are having open houses and go raid people's medicine cabinets.
So you're saying divert them, get them into the DEA's hands. You know how to properly dispose of them. Is it just these buyback days when you can do it? I know you do something in April and October every year, this big campaign, but is it year-round?
Correct. Let me just back up for a second. It's not a buyback. This is a free and anonymous way for the public to dispose of these safely. So we're calling it a take-back.
Take-back.
No questions asked. You just come to one of your local collection sites. If you want to know where your nearest site is, you can find that on our website at deatakeback.com. You put in your zip code, and then you find the nearest site. You literally just show up and drop them off. No questions asked. You can dispose of we request that you dispose of prescription-controlled substance medications. However, you're able to dispose of over-the-counter medications as well. Anything that consists of tablets, pills, capsules, in solid form, even patches. In addition, we are also, this is the first year or first event where we're going to be accepting vaping substances and cartridges. We just ask that the public, if they are going to dispose of anything with vaping, with the apparatus, if they remove the battery prior to disposal.
So okay. Take back no liquids. I didn't hear liquids in there. You're not allowed to give
Correct.
Any liquid medications.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And where do they go?
Where do they go? That's a really good question. They go to a facility that is, I'm not going to disclose the site, but it's a safe place for incineration
Got it.
And safe disposal mm-hmm. where it won't
and
be.
And you guys take care of all of that.
We do.
Yeah. So, all right. So now the locations here, so people who want to take part in this, mm-hmm. there's multiple locations for it, right?
There's actually over 6,000 nationwide. There's a bunch wow. in Chicago. I mean, there's one.
What kind of locations are they?
Hospitals, a lot of police departments. Every location site has to have some type of a law enforcement nexus in order to actually be considered safe. So mm-hmm. a lot of police departments will be collecting them. Google's also been really awesome with trying to support if someone wants to dispose of their medication, but they're unable to make it this weekend or to one of our dedicated days. The other 363 days out of the year, you go to Google, drug disposal near me, type that in, and it'll populate different pharmacies or neighborhood police departments that have mailbox drop boxes or safe disposal sites for you.
So there are some pharmacies will do this as well.
Absolutely.
Because there might be people who are hesitant to go to the police.
Well, and that's the question we have here. 630 is asking, what about if your kids have illegal drugs like ecstasy or, I guess, marijuana right now, that kind of thing? Would you be okay for coming to the DEA and dropping that stuff off if you're a parent?
That's a very good question. We are asking that people do not dispose of illegal substances. However, no questions asked, dispose of it, and, you know, we really wouldn't know, but we're really asking for legal substances. If somebody does have some unlawfully obtained substances that they want to get rid of
right,
lawfully.
Found them in their kid's closet or whatever.
Yes, yeah. I would encourage those people to contact their local law enforcement or the local DEA office, and we can help them facilitate getting a safe destruction.
Without their kid getting arrested necessarily. I mean, that's where we kind of run into a problem there.
Right. I mean,
I know, that's a tricky
question. Most law enforcement really go after, you know, aren't going after the user, you know. Justice isn't being served if we're apprehending people who are trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But I can't speak on behalf of every law enforcement official or prosecutors, but I'm happy to guide someone in that direction.
847, what about used or unused hypodermic needles?
We are asking for no sharps or needles. If you do have needles, you can contact your local fire department. They do have some fire departments have the ability to collect and safely incinerate and dispose of those. But also, yes, please no sharps or needles.
You can also go to a casino. Every one of those bathrooms has one of those sharps things in them. I don't know what that is, but they do. Can we go back to the vaping? Because I think that's interesting. So vaping cartridges or devices that you're taking in. Mm-hmm. How much of an ascendant issue is this from the perspective of the DEA in terms of illegal cartridges for vaping?
I mean, specifically to take back or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, I mean, vaping, it's an emerging public health threat to the nation's youth. And I mean, as you know, it's an act of inhaling and exhaling. It's an apparatus for getting these substances within, you know,
to your bloodstream quickly.
Correct.
Right.
It's not considered safe for teens and adults, and especially in the adolescent brain. But, you know, DEA, we go after drug traffickers and controlled, non-controlled substances. We're just here to help facilitate.
But it is an issue. I mean, what we found here in this big raid in southern Wisconsin mm-hmm. now over a month ago, what we were finding there is that there are people that are filling these cartridges. There's, you know, kids, literally, mm-hmm. in a garage with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of cartridges that they're filling with stuff, and we don't know what the hell it is that they're filling them with, right?
Scary.
I mean, that's an interstate issue, right? Because it was coming across the state lines from Wisconsin to Illinois, and there does seem to be some, at least, nexus. That's what they're looking at least, mm-hmm. the law enforcement, but specifically the health officials are looking at whatever the nexus is between these series of people who got injured here in this metropolitan area, which is a much higher percentage than the rest of the country, and what was going on there and what was happening in southern Wisconsin at the same time. So obviously that is a point of interest, right, for the DEA?
Yes, but I would like to point out that, like I said, the take back started in 2010. And if we've done it two times a year, this is our ninth year. This is the first time we're actually accepting the vaping devices and cartridges. So that's, you know, obviously this is an inception of a new concept and a new way of DEA trying to do their part to help
with that crisis.
Correct.
We've got a number of calls and a number of texts about what's the preferred method to drop them off. Do you keep them in the bottle? But that's got all your identifying information on it. And is that okay? Or you have a better way to do it?
That's a good question. You're welcome to leave them in prescription bottles with your name and information on it. The information will not be shared with anyone or used for anything. We really collect a box. A lot of people bring them, you know, recent years past, I've seen in a Ziploc bag or, you know, a brown paper bag, whatever device or, you know, however you want to dispose of them. We don't care. Like I said, it's no questions asked as long as there's no...
If they want to leave it in the bottle, they can.
They can leave it in the bottle.
They can feel safe doing it.
If we see someone's name, we're not looking at it. You know, we're not calling them up saying, how did you get this? It's literally no questions asked. We want people to bring their stuff. We want to make it easy for you. We're not going to ask you, you know, tons of questions and get in your business. Just do your job and help us out.
Would you ask any questions or is it truly just here you go?
We're not supposed to ask any questions. Well, okay. I mean, if anything, maybe just to ensure for our own safety that there's no needles or sharps, but, yeah, you know.
That kind of stuff.
Yes.
And how many locations in Northern Illinois?
I don't know specifically just that geographic area, but I know we have hundreds.
Hundreds. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it'll be easy to find. All you got to do is you go to DEATakeBack.com. DEATakeBack.com.
No, excuse me. DEATakeBack.gov.
Oh. All right. Hold on. There's a change.
And then you can enter. Wait, it's really easy.
I'm going to sue somebody on our staff for this. Hold on.
You can enter a zip code. It looks really easy to do. You just put your county, your city, your state, submit, and then search within a mile radius. Yep. And you can figure out the closest one to you.
Yep.
DEATakeBack.gov. DEATakeBack.gov.
You got it.
Corey, thanks so much. Appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Lauren's got the WGN traffic right now.